T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As Lawrence would say, Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
We're talking with Jared Payton from WGN-TV here on 670 The Score.
Jack, real quick, I know I'm going long, but
go ahead.
I say this all the time, and I haven't said this because it's really deep to me. Like, I know Bears fans love this team. I love this team. It's deeper for me, though. Way deeper. My dad, not that he played for this team, my dad gave everything. My dad gave his life for this organization and for this city. He gave his life. So it's deeper to me when I talk about my passion for this team and wanting to see this team succeed. 1985 there's pictures and pictures all over my house. I will never stop enjoying talking about the 85 Bears, the greatest football team of looking back on. When I had COVID, I was breaking out all these games and watching. Unbelievable. But it's time for this city to have another championship when it comes to football. We deserve it. The fans deserve it. The city deserves it.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
The most important thing to me is winning. How we do it, I really don't care. The words of Bears Hall of Fame linebacker Mike Singletary, the former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. We found out, thanks to The Athletic, that Singletary is one of the candidates the Bears interviewed to replace the retired Chuck Pagano as defensive coordinator. And once again, the city of Chicago is freaking out, because that's what people here do. As if anyone knows if James Betcher, George Edwards, Jonathan Gannon, or Sean Desai, the other reported candidates, could do a better job. A pleasant good afternoon to you. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence until 2 o'clock, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Ahead on the show, 14 years ago today, the Bears brought the George Halas Trophy back to Halas Hall, winning the NFC Championship, beating the Saints 39-14 on a snowy day at Soldier Field. The Bears advancing to Super Bowl 41, the last Super Bowl appearance for the team. So we'll reminisce with the only player from that team still active in the NFL today, 49ers kicker Robbie Gould, the Bears' all-time points leader. He'll join us at around 12:20. We'll also ask Robbie for his thoughts on championship weekend, Buffalo at Kansas City, Tampa Bay at Green Bay. You can hear both games Sunday on The Score beginning at 1 o'clock. Then for the entire 1 o'clock hour today, we'll talk to Kevin Fishbane, who helped contribute to The Athletic breaking the Singletary story. He'll take your phone calls, all Bears, at 1 o'clock today. All the questions you have about the team, ask Kevin. Hopefully, you'll get some thorough answers. So you're a big part of the show as well. 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. First, a few thoughts. Mike Singletary was the middle linebacker of what is considered to be the greatest defensive team in NFL history, the 85 Bears, coached by one of the best defensive coordinator in league history, Buddy Ryan. Singletary began his coaching career working with linebackers in Baltimore, helping Ray Lewis win Defensive Player of the Year in 2003. He's also had stops as a defensive assistant with the Vikings and Rams, but all you probably remember is his not-so-successful stint as the head coach of the 49ers, in which he went 15-22 and left us with an all-time rant after being disappointed in the play of his star tight end, Vernon Davis, in 2008.
I want to say this. Number one is I apologize. apologize for the start. It's like this. Today was good for me. It was good for me because sometimes you take a step back and you look at it and you think, hey, you know what? I'm here. It's on. We're going to make it work. They're working hard. They're doing this. They're doing that. We're going to go out there and it's going to change right now. It will change. And I'm not trying to tell you something. God, it's going to change. It's not like that. Okay? But I want you to understand where I'm coming from. It will change. And it will change because they want it to change, not because of me. It will change because they want to be champions. But right now, we got to figure out the formula. Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we are not a charity. We cannot give them the game. That's number two. And number three is we execute from the very start of the game to the very end of the game. That did not happen. I do not apologize about, you know what? I'll go ahead and take the question.
You were doing great.
No. You don't want me to go much further. Go right ahead. Ask the question. Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win. Go ahead. What's up next? I told him that he would do a better job for us right now, taking a shower and coming back and watching the game than going out on the field. Simple as that. We got between now and that time when we play Arizona to correct some things. And it's not so much the play, but it's more the mindset. And still having a chance to find out who wants to win, who really wants to win. Sometimes you have guys that it's been so long that we've been unsuccessful. Sometimes it's like a bad relationship. You don't know when it's going to turn again. And after a while, you become a part of the problem rather than the solution. I want guys that are solution-oriented, starting with myself. I'm not going to try and make something work when it doesn't fit. I've always been a firm believer. And it's nothing like it was anything magical or anything. In all honesty, you probably do not want to hear it, okay? But it was just sharing my heart with them. It's as simple as that. But I just believe that things that we talk about in the locker room should stay there. We did not play anywhere near where I felt we could have played. And rather than go into the, well, see, this happened here, and that guy was out of play, I'm not going through that. I'm just going to apologize and just ask you guys to, I won't even say anything, just keep watching. That's all I can tell you. You just keep watching, and we'll go from there.
I love the passion. Now, do I think Singletary will end up as the next Bears defensive coordinator? No, I don't. But I also don't have a problem with the Bears interviewing one of the most important players in the history of the franchise. Their thoughts matter. We spent a lot of time over the last 2 years talking about all the offensive issues the Bears have had, and fixing the offense will be a major part of the Bears offseason, no doubt. But I believe the key to a successful 2021 season will be improving the performance of the defense. Now, it's fair to be disappointed in the way the defense played in 2020, and it's also fair to expect more, much more, from that defense in 2021. At its best this past season, the Bears defense was defined as a bend but not break unit. That's not good enough for what's been invested on that side of the ball. The Bears defense should be a relentlessly attacking defense one that wreaks havoc by consistently interrupting the quarterback and taking the ball away. In 2018, the year the Bears traded for Khalil Mack, and the last season Vic Fangio coordinated the defense, the Bears allowed the fewest points of any team in the NFL, fewer than 18 points per game. They led the NFL with 36 takeaways that season. But since then, the Bears have a total of just 37 takeaways in 2 years. In fact, this past season, the Bears' defense wasn't even ranked in the top 10. That stat alone makes it remarkable the Bears made the playoffs. This is a defensive-oriented team that wasn't good enough defensively. Bottom line, it's fixable. Now go out and fix it. Do not minimize the impact a coordinator can have, or even the other assistants. Bears history shows you those guys matter, from George Allen to Buddy Ryan to Ron Rivera. I can go on and on. Question is, with everyone in the league aware that this is a prove-it year for the Bears staff, can they actually get the best candidates? 312-644-6767. We'll visit with the Bears' all-time points leader next. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Everybody on their feet and quiet. Snap. Kick by Gold. He's good!
Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence Holmes until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's get right to the man himself. Joining us now on the Altamonte Nissan Hotline is 49ers kicker Robbie Gold, the Bears' all-time points leader. Altamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Robbie, my friend, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be back home in Chicago, running kids to and from school, starting to work out again, and talking to some familiar faces, which is always fun for me.
And we're happy to have you on board. 14 years ago today, remember what happened?
Yeah, it was the NFC Championship against the Green Bay Packers. Lost in a tough one late.
No. It was the NFC Championship game against the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, okay. Well, they threw me for a loop because I played in two when I was here in Chicago. And I figured you were trying to set this up for the old Green Bay-Tampa Bay game coming into town.
No, we'll get to that in just a bit because last year you were part of a squad that demolished the Packers in the NFC Championship game. But I felt like there's been so much negativity over the last week after the Bears press conference and everything that happened to close out the season with those ugly losses to Green Bay and New Orleans in the playoffs. I wanted to reminisce about a time that was much better for the Bears back in that magical 2006 season and that snowy day at Soldier Field where you guys were able to take the George Halas Trophy back to Halas Hall on your way to Super Bowl 41 in Miami against the Colts. What stands out to you about that season? When did you guys know that something really special could happen?
Well, we started out really hot. I mean, we had won in a lot of games in a row, and then I believe we lost to the Miami Dolphins, and it was kind of like a wake-up call. But I think we knew we had one of the, if not honestly, the best offensive line in football at the time. We ran the football really well with Cedric Benson and Thomas Jones. We had some really good guys on the outside, and Moose Muhammad, Bernard Berrien. And then our defense was the monsters of the Midway, right? The Chicago way. And the only thing I remember really from that game was that it was close for a little bit, and then we pulled away, and then Reggie Bush basically, like, started running. They ran a run play. It was a pretty long run play, and he, like, pointed at Urlacher. And I just remember the whole sideline getting a little upset, being like, all right, this we got to step it up. And it's like almost poking the bear, right? And then from there on out, we controlled the game, and we played really well, and it was kind of unique. I was in my second year of my career, and, you know, oh, my God, here I am playing in the Super Bowl. I'm 24 years old. I have no idea what to expect and what to do, and, you know, 13 years later, I'm playing in the same stadium for a Super Bowl. Unfortunately, it was the same result.
Yeah, unable to come out with the Vince Lombardi trophy. We're talking with Robbie Gold here on 670 The Score. 2006 was Devin Hester's rookie season as a Bear. What made him different than just about anyone that we've seen before or since?
On punt return, his vision and his patience was elite. I mean, if you look at when he caught the ball, he wasn't really catching the ball and running straight right away. He was trying to set it up with a couple steps. He was able to find the hole. His speed, once he got through there, you know, he had everybody on the same line covering kicks. And then once he got through that line, it was over. I mean, you couldn't stop him. It was between him and the punter, and he was jumping over guys like Todd Sauerbrunn, who punted to him. And, you know, I think a lot of his speed and his vision is what people kind of took for granted a little bit. And then those that decided they weren't going to punt to him, you know, gave us great field position because they were okay with a 38-yard net, right? And then I think Devin, what he did was, as this new form of punter and the Australian rules flip in the open field came to be, Devin truly became the guy that changed that for really good returners now in the game, right? He saw, hey, let's make him run up and catch it. And he did a really nice job of, and historically you'll see he's the guy that changed the way people think about punting to elite punters, punt returners.
Robbie Gold is with us here on The Score. And then for you personally, you're the last guy from that NFC Championship squad in 2006 to still be an active player in the NFL. Pretty amazing.
I'm just getting old. That's all, Zach. I'm just getting old.
No, but you see, I mean, think about it. You've seen a little bit of everything in the league, but nothing like what players have ever had to deal with going through a pandemic. What was the difficulty of this year that you could never understand unless you had to go through it as a player like you did?
Well, I think everyone's going through it, right? I think everyone has to change. They have to adapt to what's going on. You know, in different areas, like in California, you know, we got kicked out of Levi's Stadium for the final games of the season, you know, because they were worried about the number of hospital beds and keeping people safe and things like that. So we had to relocate to Arizona for 5 weeks. But I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, it was just something that, depending on where you were, like Florida was open, Texas was open. We had 30,000 fans in Dallas. We had nobody in most of the stadiums we played in. So, you know, just bringing your own energy every day, being diligent and understanding that, you know, you have to wear your mask, making sure that you follow these protocols that were put in place so that the season can happen. I think the National Football League and the organizations did a great job of adapting these rules as the game kind of went on through the season and making the rules and the protocols a little bit better and allow to either break, you know, what would be an outbreak or to allow guys to not be able to start an outbreak. So, yeah, I think it was just sometimes the facility was closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. There was nowhere in California you were going to be able to work out because everything was closed. Where in Florida or some of these places, there's some facilities that are open, right? So you just had to adjust your schedule. You had to adjust kind of what your routine was. And everyone in America, everyone across the world is doing that right now, right? And working from home and kids not being in school and then going into school. So, you know, just like everybody else, you know, we have to adapt and overcome some of the situations. And I think for the most part, you know, there's a lot of people in the National Football League that were able to do it. And that's why you're seeing these NFC, AFC championship games being played this weekend.
All right. Do you want to play the role of football analyst when it comes to the championship games on Sunday? Last year, the 49ers crushed the Packers in the NFC championship game. This time around, Aaron Rodgers and company are playing host to the NFC championship game against Tampa Bay. What stands out to you about that matchup?
I really like the matchup this week, and I think you have one of the best offenses in all of football, and then you have one of the best defenses in all of football. I think this one, for sure, you're going to see a lot of guys trying to run the ball. You're going to see Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, and then Tom Brady. You know, how do you bet against a guy that's been as great? He's been to, I think, 10 NFC or AFC championships in a 20-some-year career. He's been to 9 Super Bowls, I believe. I mean, half of his career he's played in Super Bowls, right? So he understands how to win. He understands tough games. I think special teams is going to play a big role in it because it's supposed to snow. It's supposed to be cold. So you're going to see a really good game. I think Green Bay, I like Green Bay a lot this weekend. I really do. I think Aaron Rodgers has played to an entirely different level than he ever has. I think a lot of that starts with them drafting a quarterback in the first round. But I think if Tampa Bay runs the football, controls the ball, and keeps Aaron on the sideline, I like Todd Bowles as a defensive coordinator and what he's been able to do down there with that group of talent. I think it'll be a great game. But I think at the end of the day, I think Aaron Rodgers will be Aaron Rodgers, and I think Green Bay will win.
Talking some football with Robbie Gold here on The Score. Let's flip it to the AFC, Buffalo at Kansas City. How do you see that one going?
You know, Josh Allen is quite a player. I mean, this guy has grown. What Brian Daboll and McDermott have done with him, he's become not only the pass part of their offense, but he's the guy that's also running the football. He's scrambling. They're getting him outside the pocket. I think they match up really well against Kansas City's defense. Mahomes should probably play as long as he can go through concussion protocol. This might be a real shootout. I think Buffalo's running game is based around Josh, and they've done a great job of that. But when you see most of these teams playing the tight games like Oakland did and San Diego and these guys the L.A. Chargers that are taking them to the brink and keeping it close or running and managing the clock. But I think this is going to be two guys airing the ball out, and you're going to see two quarterbacks playing at an elite level. Cause I think we saw Josh in week 14 or something, and, his growth has been incredible. So, if Mahomes is back and healthy, I do think Kansas City can pull this one out just being in Kansas City. But I think you're gonna have two really good football games come this coming weekend for sure.
Can't wait for it. All right, I got a couple of questions for you personally, because you mentioned that you think Aaron Rodgers was able to raise his level of play to even a higher level because of what the Packers did in the draft, getting some competition at the quarterback position. Do you believe that you are operating at the level that you're operating at now as a veteran kicker that's lasted this long in the league because of what happened when the Bears cut you?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, to me, I just was able to go back to some basics. You know, I think we had had change in regimes. We've had some change at the position long snapper, which, you know, if you look at the teams and the specialists, especially the kickers who have done really well throughout their careers, they've kept that group together, snap, hold, kick, right? So we transitioned through a couple guys, and eventually Pat Scales became the guy. I still kicked 84%. Yeah, I missed six kicks. I think I had 39 attempts or something like that before I left. But, I think I had to really look at, like, okay, hey, why am I missing? What am I doing? What have I done differently? And any time that there's kind of been a little bit of a change, I've always kind of rushed myself, and I've slowed down. I've slowed down significantly since I left here to be able to see the ball, hit a good ball. I think there's another part of motivation, right? When you get cut, you want to show everybody that you can still play and still play at a high level. And what's crazy is since I left, I've probably kicked about 89%, right? And what upsets me about this year for me is up until the Arizona game, I had a chance to kick in the 90s again. And that would have been my, I think, second time in 4 years I've done that, right? So I'm more motivated than ever. I don't think that it's because of, hey, let's go see what the percentage is. I think it's more me being motivated now that I've played in two Super Bowls, I've lost both of them, and really the only thing left on my career is to win a Super Bowl. And, every day I get up, I'm working out. I just got done working out here. I already started for next year, and I think a lot of that has to do with being in that game last year. It took me 13 years, right? So you got to have a little bit of luck. You got to have a lot of great guys and culture in your locker room, and I mean, we have that, you know. The tough part for us is now, because we have such a good place, we're going to lose coaches like Robert Saleh, Mike LaFleur, and some other people down the road to head coaching jobs. So for us and for me, like, there's a lot to be excited about in San Francisco. And I get to come back to Chicago again next year, which gets me pretty pumped up too.
Yeah, he already knows the schedule. He always circles those games with the Bears. You mentioned Robert Saleh, former defensive coordinator in San Francisco, just named the new head coach of the Jets. He's going to be introduced at a news conference next hour. For most people who haven't followed the 49ers, all we really know about him is he's a rah-rah guy that you always see in the highlights. What's he like, and do you think he'll be a good head coach?
I think he's going to be a great head coach. I think everyone in the locker room, if you look at, like, the culture of the 49ers, you'll see all of the players, even those that are retired, talking about and congratulating a coach on our staff. That's the regard that he gets based on the scheme, based on how he coaches, the details that he goes into, the way that he carries himself. He's always trying to get guys better. You know, you talk about COVID. You know, this is one of the first times, you know, as a kicker, I was able to get involved in practice as an equipment manager, right? I'm holding cards. I'm watching them do drills. And this is the first time I've been able to be around him more. And I just think that he'll get everything he can out of every player in that locker room. And I think they'll change the Jets culture. But I also think they'll rebuild. And he's been a part of it. He's seen it in San Francisco. And I think he's with the right ownership group, because they'll give him and his philosophy to everything he needs, everything his players need, everything his staff needs. And that's huge nowadays, because, you know, everyone has the same salary cap. Everybody has the same pad of practices. Everyone has the same time limit of practice. So really, like, the biggest part of, and this is what the York family does a really good job of, is they invest in the players off the field, whether it be for community relations stuff or whether it's regeneration, massage therapy, acupuncture. I mean, we have people come in twice a week and a player never pays for a single massage, acupuncture, chiropractic work, stretch therapist, you name it. And I think that's the new competitive advantage. And Green Bay and New York and Philly, all of these teams had started that in the past. But now you're going to see this kind of trickle into two more teams. And I think he'll get everything out of the guys. They'll be in the building more. And I think I think that job's great for him because he's got Sam Darnold at quarterback. I think they'll like him a lot, especially in the offense that Shanahan runs. And I think you'll see a really good Jets team, if not in the middle or the start of the first year, for sure towards the end and in the beginning of the second season. I think, you know, he learned under some great people too. So he'll take all those experiences and definitely, I think, be a great head coach in the NFL.
Robbie Gold with us. You signed an extension near the tail end of this past season, so you still have a little bit of football left in your career. But have you begun to think about what life will be like after your playing career?
Yeah, I've definitely thought about it. You know, you're seeing some of these positions where former players are coming back to organizations like Spielman in Detroit, you know, and be a liaison to the organization. You know, we have a few out in San Francisco. You're kind of seeing this go across the board. I mean, being a player rep for 10 years, being an athlete that's a football player that's seen a bunch of different organizations at every different level, playing through I'll call different generations. I've got the old generation, a little bit of the new generation of what the NFL is like. I would love to come and be a consultant somewhere for a team. And, you know, obviously go through what that is and help a team maybe make decisions or, hey, this makes sense. This is how it goes from Monday to Sunday to get ready to prepare. This is what this team does. This is, you know, and I think that would be awesome just to be able to stay in football. The other part of me is, I'm excited to be a dad too. You know, I've been away from my family for 6 months of the year, and being able to drive my kids to school, coach their sports, as well as I started a company that's a software management company, Eventlify, and we run anything from golf outings to galas to donation campaigns online. So I have my hand in a lot of different things, but I definitely am eyeing hopeful that I can find a place that would allow me to come on board and still stick around football.
Well, hopefully you still have a long time left to play some football on the field. Any regrets when you look back at your Bears career? Any regrets?
My only regret, and I told this to Mrs. McCaskey, is my only regret is that we didn't win a Super Bowl. You know, I think if you look at my tenure, I had Lovey for most of it. You know, we played in two NFC championships. We went to one Super Bowl. We lost a really tough game to Green Bay. Going through three quarterbacks and lost 21-14 on a middle screen pass to one of the big defensive linemen. I think it was Jolly. And then, you know, they've gone through a few transitions every probably 2 to 3 years from that point with Trestman and John Fox and Emery and Ryan Pace. And the only regret I have is, you know, not winning her a Super Bowl, because I think a lot of what the players go through and what the players understand is how much it means to her and the family. But that's really my only regret.
Robbie, great stuff. Thank you so much. Love catching up with you. Stay healthy and keep on kicking.
You too, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You got it. Robbie Gold, the former Bear, the all-time points leader in franchise history and current 49er, talking some football with us. Let's take a break. When we come back, your thoughts. 312-644-6767. What is the deal with this Deshaun Watson stuff? We'll discuss next. Zach Zaidman in from Lawrence on the Score.
This team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
That's the voice of the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell. Doesn't it seem as though the Lions are forever rebuilding? As much as you think that things are bad here sometimes when it comes to the Bears, I think it's always important to have a little bit of perspective. I'm not saying this to make you feel better, because you still should want the very best for your team. Ownership demands the very best from the Bears. You should too. But I do think it's interesting. I'll never forget this. When the Super Bowl was in Detroit, when the Steelers won, Ben Roethlisberger's rookie year, I think it was 2005, and they have all these news conferences, and I was asking a question to one of the game broadcasters, and we're talking about, you know, what the Bears need to do to get back on track, because they were coming off a really ugly 2004 season. And you know, the Bears were about to turn the corner. They had that great 2005 year, and where Kyle Orton, essentially with very limited offense, the defense was phenomenal that season. They found a way to make the playoffs before getting bounced by John Fox and the Carolina Panthers. And then, of course, everyone knows what happened in 2006. And I remember asking a question, you know, because it's been since 1985 since the Bears last won a championship. You know, what do they need to do to recapture some of that magic? And all these reporters in Detroit who had covered the Lions, they all sighed and gasped, because they just don't know what successful football is like in Detroit. They haven't won a playoff game, a single playoff game they haven't won since the early 90s. And they haven't won a championship since Bobby Lane was their quarterback in the old era. So, yeah, I mean, you do have to have a little bit of perspective. You know, Robbie Gold, who was just on, we were talking about the New York Jets and the new head coach that they hired, Robert Saleh. I mean, that's an organization that seems like it's in a perpetual rebuild. I think what's been maddeningly frustrating about watching the Bears is that, for the most part, outside of the couple of years where Mark Trestman was the head coach, they've had really good defenses. Even going back to the Dick Girardi era at the start of the millennium, the Bears had some really good defenses. They made the playoffs in 2001 in large part because they had a terrific defense. And then there were the Lovie Smith teams that were successful. And everything's all relative, but you know the defenses were really good year in, year out. And then, you know, over the last few seasons, for the most part, the Bears' defenses have been highly competitive and really good. They took a step back this year because of some injuries and poor play and I think a lack of complementary football. But that's been the issue, is the inability to consistently play complementary football from an offensive standpoint to help those defenses out. So you're really talking about one side of the ball. If you could just fix that just a little bit, you know, you'd put yourself in a position where I think you could find yourself in the playoffs a little bit more often. I don't know that you can expect to consistently compete for championships unless you have one of the elite quarterbacks, but you could definitely make the playoffs more if you could just assemble an average offense to go what should be, along with what should be, a really good defense. Zach Zaidman here for Lawrence Holmes until 2 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767. Coming up the entire 1 o'clock hour. Line up the phone calls now because we'll be visiting with the Athletics' Kevin Fishbane. He was part of the breaking news that we found out yesterday that the Bears had interviewed Mike Singletary for the vacant defensive coordinator position. Singletary, one of a few men that they've interviewed for that job. So all the questions that you have when it comes to Bears football this offseason, hopefully Kevin can give you some thorough answers in the next hour, 312-644-6767. So I mentioned Deshaun Watson earlier, and I want to bring him up again because I feel like it's a popular topic in sports radio and a popular topic on the websites and a popular topic on social media. And it's because it's an easy topic to discuss. But this isn't like James Harden wanting out of Houston. It's a lot easier in the NBA to make a deal than it is in the National Football League. And I don't think, as bad as the relationship may or may not be, here are a couple of things to consider. Deshaun Watson signed an extension with the Texans, an extension that includes a no-trade clause. He's 25 years old. The team is under new management. And while he may not like how ownership went about finding that new management, they haven't hired a head coach yet. And I think you have to wait to see how that's going to play out before you can realistically say that there is no way to mend the relationship between the star quarterback and the franchise. It is so difficult to find 25-year-old quarterbacks who have accomplished what Deshaun Watson has accomplished. You don't give them away. And it will take a lot more than the Bears gave up to get Jay Cutler, than the Bears gave up to get Khalil Mack, to acquire someone like Deshaun Watson, who again has a no-trade clause. And I doubt that he would be looking forward to saying yes to joining a team with the same general manager that passed him up in 2017. And he criticized the Bears organization last offseason. Now, whether or not it's true, and I don't think it is, but when he said, oh, the Bears didn't meet with me, they did. They didn't meet with him like Mitchell Trubisky, but they met with him. They knew he existed, and they decided to pass on him. I think there are other teams that will have a better opportunity if he truly is available, which I don't think he is. I just think they're better deals to make if they're the Houston Texans, and they're better deals to make if you're Watson and you can basically dictate where you want to go because of that no-trade clause. That's why if you're a Bears fan, just forget about Deshaun Watson. It's over. The mistake was made. And he will not be joining this team. The biggest thing the Bears have to worry about this offseason is putting together as good of a team as they can, an infrastructure in place that when eventually a good quarterback becomes available and materializes, you have something in place to be able to take your team to the next level. The Bears are not at this point right now. 312-644-6767. Hardcore Bears with Kevin Fishbane next, and your phone calls. Zach Zaidman in for Lawrence on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.